Excuse me, Luke chapter 1. Verse 30. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Fear not is, don't be in the position that she was when she first saw him and heard his words. Because she was terrified. You have found favor. Favor is charis, which is grace. You have found grace with the Lord. Oh, I want to get to one thing here. Verse 31. That's enough of that verse. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Conceive, we studied when it talked about it with Elizabeth, but thy womb is gastar, which just means your inner being, your belly, your womb. You shall bring forth a son. And bring forth is tikto, T-I-K-T-O. I want us to go one thing with regard to this idea of the word conceive, sulambano, which means, well, let's look at it, James 1. Verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation or testing, for when he is tried or fully tested, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. But no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. When the Holy Spirit in Mary, when Mary conceived, instead of bringing forth sin, she brought forth the Son. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. It's hard for us to conceive this, but we know from genetics that every cell in your body has the genetic code to reproduce you. That's what cloning is. But cloning would just produce something probably that's inherently evil. In terms of humans, if we cloned a human. Because it probably, and my guess, it probably wouldn't have the clone wouldn't have the capacity for repentance, but that's just, that's too big to get into right now. And so you've got to hear this, that each one of us, each member of the human race, after Pentecost, if you will, had the capacity to become a cell in the bride, the mystery, the body of Christ. So let's look at that in 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, And all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, then where were the body? And now they are many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor the head of the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble or weak are necessary. And these members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that which part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that miracles and gifts of healing, helps, government, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, yet I show unto you a more excellent way. And the next chapter is about what the meaning of love is. Every cell in your body has the capacity to reproduce you. Does everybody understand that? That's what the whole of the genetic world is about. Before that happened, we really couldn't understand the bride. We couldn't understand this mystery. And here we are exhorted to look at our own body. Each cell of our body has no consciousness of itself and has no it cannot take in to itself. Every cell of the body gives. It gives without consciousness of giving. It's because it's operating properly. If you have a cell in your body that becomes conscious of itself and stops giving everything, in modern medical terms, that's called cancer. And so the whole mystery of God has to do with unawareness. Now, the mystery of the bride is that every cell of the body has to pass through the seed. So the best the human race can be is God's sperm cell. The sperm cell, not to produce another Christ, but to produce the body. Now, it's a parable. And just as the sperm cell, when it enters the egg, it loses its identity and it changes the environment and everything about the egg, so we each must enter as a sperm cell into this egg of the New Jerusalem. And then we are in a mystery. Time and space becomes the womb for the bride of Christ. That's why he came down from, instead of the joy that was set before him, he came down and endured the cross and despised the shame. This is why the whole mystery of God is the lack of consciousness of self in any way. Again, if you're conscious of yourself, then what happens? Just as in the human body, that produces, it eats as does a canker or a cancer, because you say the resurrection is past already. So therefore, you've got all the stuff to do. But if you understand this mystery,
If you understand that to be born again means that you have entered into the New Jerusalem, the egg, and have lost your identity, then it's not possible for you anymore to have consciousness of self unless you have the capacity or are turning towards not being a healthy cell, but a cancer or gangrene. Now, this is why this mystery of God could really not be understood in this capacity until scientists understood and became and mapped the genetic code. Am I communicating?
Yep.
This is why you must lose consciousness of yourself. Abandonment of self. There's no concern for self in any way. And you then are in this mystery in which it has nothing to do with you. It has to do with the perfection of the bride. You cannot possibly suffer anything. Nothing can happen to you. You cannot have anything. Because you're now in this new mystery of only giving. And the moment you stop giving, then you become self-consumed. That's what we call depression. Can everybody understand this at least intellectually for a minute? Anybody have any response to it? Look at your own body to see the mystery. That's what we are exhorted to do here in Corinthians. What, Gary?
I'm just looking.
Look at it and then forget it.
Well, see what it trying to tell you here.
This is the essence of Christianity. That's why when you enter that egg, you die. When you are born again, you die. You have no more life. It's not optional. This isn't a theology. It's not a philosophy. It's a what is. It has nothing to do with you except as a vessel. The best you can be as a vessel is a friend of the bridegroom.
Somehow I'm thinking of Paul where he talks about running the race. It's like you move on. If you sit and contemplate your navel, you go inward, and then there's a whole universe to deal with there. But you live your life.
But this is why, for instance, yesterday we had that discussion about, because you must lose consciousness of self. It must be so that it's the same as breathing. You're not aware of your breathing unless something is wrong. You should not ever be aware of yourself unless something is wrong. The minute you're aware of yourself, the same as you're aware of breathing, you cough to expel it, you do whatever, that's repentance. You lose the capacity to have a consciousness of self eventually. And that's what sanctification is. It should, you know, everything, just like with Israel, everything was there. They could have gone to the Feast of Tabernacles in a couple months, but instead they spent 39 years in Kadesh Barnea. So when it talks about this, the angel saying to Mary, "Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. By your death you bring forth this son." So instead of constantly conceiving lust, and it bringing forth sin unto death, you don't have to do that over and over and over and over again. John, does this help understand?
I understand. Self-awareness is the curse. Who told you were naked?
But God, by His grace, has led us, because of genetic engineering, to see this mystery in a deeper sense. Let's go to Romans 12. You're doing it, Gary.
Well, I'm just wondering, you referenced yesterday's meeting a couple of times, and that was interesting meeting yesterday morning. And so I'm thinking about that and what you're saying this morning, and I think you're tying it together. There's some, you were motivated to do this because of that.
No.
Like.
No. I was sitting out here before Bible study praying, and it became clear. And it had nothing to do with a reference point. I mean, I've talked about this all before, but never in this context. Never in the context of Mary conceiving and bringing forth a son. So in the mystery of God, you must see this. You die when he's birthed. You die when he's born in you. Let's go to Romans 12. Start in Romans 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. And again, that's why the moment we become aware of self, then we are in effect trying to become the counselors or attorneys for God. And as Joyce Sani says all the time, well, the only problem is there's no faith. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed or transfigured by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, to think soberly means, sober just means in line with the mystery of God. It's confessing the Lord Jesus, because you see the same thing, you've heard the same thing, you see the same thing, and so now everything, it's sober is just being not aware of yourself. That's what the Bible calls soberness. Anything else is drunken, because you're drunken on the wine of Ephraim, the wine of self-seeking. Doesn't matter whether you're self-seeking and successful or self-seeking and, oh, shit. Either way, you're aware of yourself. The minute you become aware of yourself, and you've gone into the, if you haven't gone to the pit yet, you will get there very soon. What?
Last night we watched a movie or a show about Einstein proving different theory about gravity than Newton. And the process that he went through, his mind worked completely different than the scientific community. And watching that show, this scripture was what I was thinking of, and it just confirmed that, just in seeing that, how if we are conformed to the mental ways of our society, our community, our block, then we're missing out on what God's trying to do, which is to deny all of that.
Amen.
And just this is such a confirmation this morning to hear, and this be chosen as a scripture.
Verse 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think, not notice, of himself isn't in there, it's in italics, more highly than they ought to think. The reference or the implication there is, if you think of yourself, then you're thinking highly. Doesn't matter whether you're thinking of yourself as, oh, I'm a poor me, everything is wrong. Oh. Or, gee, look at what I'm going to do. They're both the same thing. But to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members of one and another. One another. This is why everything has to come back to abandon yourself. Take no thought for yourself. Take no thought for your life. Now, you know, again, I remember the first time I talked about this, everybody went, oh my God, he's an idiot. How can you not think of yourself? I used to use the expression, do you have any problem walking away after you take a dump? If you see correctly, walking away is automatic. I have suffered the loss of all things, including what my mind can do and not do, and count them but dung. He was cussing in that scripture, by the way. He didn't say in his language, count them but dung. He said, count them but shit. Oh, but my thoughts are so good. I've got so many opinions about this and that. No. Go to Ephesians 5 a minute. I think. No, that, never mind.
Is
Ephesians.
Right?
To the it's to the right. General Electric Power Company. You've gone to C, you've gone too far. You've gone to P, you've gone too far. I want to read two prayers.
Read 5.
Ephesians, no, just Ephesians chapter 1 first. Remember, we've talked before how Ephesians corresponds to the book of Joshua, because you've come out of the wilderness into the promise. So just as Joshua was about your life in the promise, so Ephesians is like your life in the promise. You throw aside, you throw away, you disown everything. Otherwise, you go back to Egypt. All right. Verse 15. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. No, not wisdom and revelation. Wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Amen? You see the difference? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, not yours. And what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? And the word power there just means sure, tested efficacy, ability. That's like if you plant a seed, it's gonna produce whatever the seed came from. And if Christ is the only seed, you're the earth in which the seed was planted. All right.
Which we're in chapter 5 or
what? No, we're in chapter 1.
Ephesians 1.
Now we're going to chapter 3. You can read the rest of that prayer. Well, let's read it. Never mind. Verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly place. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in the world to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, go to now the, another prayer, chapter 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that he might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Those two prayers are majestic, but they're all about him. But oh, we want to think we're something. Oh, that constant self-awareness. It's a stench in the nostrils of God. Oh, this is what I think about that. Nobody gives a damn. Oh, no, my views are important. No, they're dung. That's just as mine are. Anybody have any response to any of this? Rant? They're going to rant, John? John is my rant discriminator. But this is pretty, I mean, it's so simple. Stop it. It's easy. Just stop it. Well, how's that worked out for you?
You don't even have to ask that.
Just laugh at it and go on.
Yeah, occasionally I feel like some of your sermons, or I said it lightheartedly, sometimes I feel like you're speaking directly to me after. Well, I'm not that important, but I feel as if at times you're speaking directly to me after we've had conversations, or you've seen my demeanor change, or I'm becoming excessively self-aware.
Does anybody think that too? Does anybody not think that?
I feel like I've been good material for you.
No, everybody is. Although I'm so special, he was preaching to me.
No, everybody. That's what preaching is. No, it touches everybody.
I don't feel like I'm being...
Oh, I know. I'm just kidding.
If anything, it's revealing. Hopefully, I'll do better than just being...
Let me ask you a question. The promise of God, the promises that we just read, are all dependent on the fulfillment of what Christ accomplished. Now, the way this happens is, in our minds will never admit this, but our minds say, what does this have to do with me? And when you say that, what you're saying to the Father, I am so special, or my needs are so great, that the sacrifice of the Son of God wasn't enough for me. Now I urge you, I beg of you, if you looked and studied, I took 3 years to study the offerings, so to try to get a handle on what it meant when he said, by one offering you've been perfected forever. And I promise you, his one offering has met every possible need that you can have. Not your wants, your needs. And his promise is, he will fulfill your heart's desire. But your heart's desire, what happens is, your heart's desire get filtered through your idolatry, and so they become your wants instead of your heart's desire. And this is, I can testify with 100% on this one. Because, listen to me carefully, I've said this over and over, but nobody believes me. If I paid the slightest attention to my mind, what I do and the way I live is my worst nightmare. There is nothing about what I am and have become that is attractive to my mind. Nothing. But the mystery is, it fulfills every possible heart's desire. And that promise is available to you right now.
That sounds like the distinction you made. It's quenched every heart's desire, but not the mind.
No, not quenched it. It's met every heart's desire.
Every heart's desire versus every mind.
Your mind, no. Your mind will never comprehend it. Your mind will always... Your mind is the mortal enemy of God. It is not subject to the law of God, and it cannot be. In fact, it is enmity against God. One of you has to die.
The key word there is never. Because a lot of times when you sit out here and you think, oh, well, if I get hold of this concept, then I'll be better and my mind will be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, it's never...
No, because you can't have a concept about abandoning yourself. Oh, I'm going to try to abandon myself today. Oh, listen, I'm going to try to. That's like these guys. Remember when we first started? There were several that kept repeating, "I'm crucified with Christ. I'm crucified with Christ" as a mantra. That was just sorcery.
But good words, the right words, but sorcery.
No.
That's the funniness of it, that the mind thinks that's high service.
Abandon. Take no thought. Take no thought. Take no thought. Faith isn't faith until it becomes automatic. And it can only be automatic if you've disowned your mind. And you can't disown your mind until you run all the rabbits. If you still got rabbits that you haven't run yet, then you're a fool to stay here. But run them with integrity internally. Talk to your Seder group. Find out how the ridiculousness of each one of these ideas and wants that you think you want and have. Want and need. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I went on a rant again.
You know, in every case, and everything you say, it's never something now to do. It's always something to see, even the abandoning. You don't, by your own ability, have the power to abandon yourself. But when you see right, you'll abandon yourself.
And again, as I said, it doesn't take any effort to walk away from a pile of shit. But that's the manure that causes the seed.
When I hear this, I think that I have to do something. I have to do something.
Change.
Yeah. No, you just see correctly. If you hear, what you hear, you will see. What you see, you will do automatically. But your ears must be circumcised. And the way they're circumcised is the cross. If there is something that isn't subject to this in your mind, you've got to talk about it openly. You can't just sit and dream in your mind and make up imaginary worlds. That's just goofy. If you can accept for a minute that the moment Christ was crucified and the sun darkened, the night of the last day began. The night has come. No man can work. And then what must we do to do the work of God? Believe on him who he has sent. Rely, trust completely, 100%. Well, I can't do that because I still got all these things and my mind does this and I have sweet thoughts. Well, then you're a fool. Take it, big guy. I don't feel like talking anymore.